Oh, so good to see you. So incredible to wish you a happy new year on this day. And I actually want to talk to you about New Year's resolutions. I love how a new year kind of gives us a natural moment to think about the year to come in a fresh way, or with resolutions, with new commitments, with new thoughts. Like, oh, I want this year to turn out in this and this way, or this year I'm gonna this and this. And you know, they say that January is the best month for gyms and the worst month for the tobacco industry. Praise God. It's also the worst month for the alcohol industry, since I think the government even launched a dry January this year, like no alcohol in January. It's good, good stuff. So it plays on the idea of New Year's resolutions, and I must say many of my New Year's resolutions over the years have failed, like in the first week already. This year I'm gonna every day this and this, and then two days in and like nope, didn't work out, and then you kind of throw them out of the window, and life continues the way it was. But I've always been a fan of them, and actually some of them I have been able to turn into life habits, and they have changed my life. And so I really believe in New Year's resolutions, and I want to talk to you about them. And I also have a Bible text for you. because I think that when you do them the right way, when you involve God in them, they can actually become new life habits, and they can really bring a positive change in your life. I think that we all have some things in our 2019s that we'd like to leave there and not take with us into our 2020s. And so maybe some new, you know, bad habits crept in, or maybe you've lost a good habit. Maybe some situation in your life spiraled into a negative climax. Maybe there's some things you'd like to stop this year. Maybe there are some things you'd like to start this year. I think we can do New Year's resolutions in a better way, because many, like when you set them up, like this year I'm gonna, or like I hope to, or I'm setting a goal to, or when we do them in our own strength, when we don't involve God in them, then many of those resolutions are doomed to fail. But I think we can do them in a better way. And so my message is called New Year's Resolutions 2.0. Because you know, you don't want a New Year's resolution that sets you up for a guilt trip when you fail, when you're not able to keep it. But you want New Year's resolutions that set you up for a breakthrough of God in your life. That's what I want to talk about. We're going to read from a passage in Joshua. Joshua is a book that comes right after the first five books in the Bible. So you have, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books written by Moses on the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites left Egypt and kind of move on towards a new phase in their history to the Promised Land. And it all happens under the leadership of Moses. And Joshua is his apprentice. He actually was with Moses in many of his special God encounters. Joshua was there. He was raised up by Moses as his apprentice. And so when Moses dies, while they're actually still in the desert, Joshua's mission is then to lead the people onwards to the Promised Land, to conquer it and to make it their own land, as God had promised it. So that's his special assignment, and we're going to read the passage where they come to the Jordan River, which basically is the only thing that still separates them from that Promised Land. So when they cross the river, they will set foot on the land that God had promised them. And so you could say that they're literally on the verge of a breakthrough. They've got this whole river in front of them, which is actually quite high, hard to get through. And they're literally on the verge of their new future. So like our new year is nothing compared to that, but I think it provides with a nice framework to think of. You know, many things in the Old Testament that happened in a very physical way give us some spiritual principles for our lives today. And so definitely also with this story. And we find in the first five verses this: early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them, since you have never traveled this way before. So they're going into, you know, how do you say that? Unconquered territory, or like they've never been there before. It's all new. They will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. The ark signifies God's presence, God's nearness. And make sure that you don't come any closer. And then, this is our key text for today, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great work, great wonders among you. I want to give you three keys today that will maybe help you turn your New Year's resolutions into steps towards a breakthrough in your life. Because I believe that, you know, you can't really earn God's blessing. You can't really make it happen, force it to happen. But I believe that you can position yourself for a blessing of God over this year. You can definitely position yourself for it. You can do some things that set you up for God to be able to bless you. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And the first step is to prepare. Joshua said, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. See, a breakthrough doesn't just happen, doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's not sitting and waiting until it happens. You have to kind of prepare for it. You have to work towards something. And for the Israelites here, it is, it's purification, and which was a ritual cleansing type of thing. I mean, you get quite dirty in the desert, so maybe it was also that. But it's mostly a ritual, a spiritual ritual kind of thing that happens where they clean themselves and they clean their faces, and it's a thing of purification, but with a deep spiritual meaning, a deep spiritual significance to purify yourselves before God is going to do something new. And I think that provides us with a great idea for how we can prepare ourselves for this year as well, a time of purification. That's why last year we did a time of prayer and fasting. It's also a time of devotion, a time of setting some things aside and kind of longing or going for something new, all eyes on Jesus, to sort of renew me, purify me, do something new in me. So when is the last time that you prayed something like, Lord, search me, know me, and show me anything in my heart that is not right? Like, when is the last time that you prayed something like that? I came across this passage in James. This may seem quite harsh, but it's a great passage where James says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Amen. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Oh, wait. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. James likes to give it to us straight. That's exactly what he does here. So when is the last time you asked God to, like when you humbled yourself before the Lord and asked him, like show me anything in my heart that is not right, that is not good, where I need to change, where I need to be purified, and then purify me, Lord. Help me to discover those things and get rid of them. To not, you know, take that which was in my 2019 into my 2020. It may be scary a little bit, but what I've experienced over the years is when I would pray something like that, God would show, God would speak to me. He would speak the truth in love. This is what he specializes in. He speaks the truth, which is can be confronting, can be hard, can be difficult for us to digest, but he always does it in love. He does it to help you to move towards something more beautiful, to move towards something better, to move to something pure. And I love how he does that. And there may be some things in us, You know, when it comes to our dreams for the next year and our resolutions and the things, our hopes and our dreams for 2020, there might be some blockages and barriers in our lives that we need to ask God to show us so we can get rid of them, purify ourselves, prepare ourselves for what is to come. Secondly, I believe that the preparation for what God wants to do in our lives is more than purification. It's also being intentional about something, being intentional in what you want, being intentional, being specific in what you are praying for and what you are longing for. See, I wonder if God actually answers vague prayers. I guess that he does, but we don't know what to listen for. See, we don't know if he answers. But I think that a specific prayer, a targeted prayer, like something specific when we pray, is a lot more powerful, does a lot more, has a lot more effect. We'll know what to listen for. We'll know where to see where God is answering. We'll be able to see the effect when we pray specifically. If we just pray, like, Lord, bless me in 2020, and that everything, that all my endeavors will go right. That's fake. We want to pray about something specific. We want to target that. You know, when we have to identify the area in our life where a breakthrough is needed, in our family, in our work life, in our finances, in our relationships, in our spiritual life, in our understanding, in whatever applies to you. Pray for something specific and pray for a breakthrough that only God can bring. Write down that area in your life where you struggle or where you long to see a change and pray for a breakthrough. Only when you write it down, when you identify it, when you pray for it specifically, you'll be prepared for something to change. You'll be prepared for what God wants to do. And so that being specific, and to make the bridge towards New Year's resolutions, it also translates into setting goals. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with setting goals. I don't know about you. They can really help you to do something. So this last year, I had this goal of I want to read the Bible in 1 year. And so you get on a year plan, and then I've been able to accomplish it. And I'm like, yes, I'm like, so proud of myself at the end of this year. Like, I did it. I actually finished the whole thing. And I had read every part of the Bible before, but not all in 1 year. And now I'm absolutely certain I've read everything in the Bible. I'm still excited about it, but still, like I remember when I studied, and you have a certain assignment or an internship, and you have to set these SMART goals. I was like, I hate it. Yeah, this is specific and measurable and whatever. Agile, or is this, no, that's not it. Time related. Like, I just want to do a good job and I'll probably learn something from it, and don't make me set goals and then reflect on them afterwards. It's all just, you know, students, you get me, all the students here. Yeah, okay, right. Okay, so we feel each other there. So even though setting goals can be a great motivator, they can also crush motivation. I've also set goals, like in my work life, and then by the end of the year, you realize, oh, I haven't even come close to reaching it. And then what now? Did I fail, or like, did I not? Like, you can have this love-hate relationship with setting goals. And I think God has been teaching me two things about setting goals that I want to share with you. And the first one is that you have to make sure that your motivation around a certain goal is pure. Your motivation needs to be pure if you want to position yourself for God's blessing. Let me give you a couple of examples. If your goal for 2020 is to, by the end of the year, bench press 100 kilos, that may be a great goal, but it's not a great goal if your motivation behind it is to impress someone. Then it's an impure motivation. You may have a goal of losing a certain amount of weight. If the motivation behind that is only because you're currently insecure about your body, that's an impure motivation. It's not a bad goal, it's just that the motivation behind it may be impure. If your goal is to read through the Bible in 1 year because you believe that because of that, God will love you more, it's a great goal. It's an impure motivation. Make sure that your motivation to reach a certain goal is God-honoring and is pure. Because Like if you set yourself out to do something, you ask for God's blessing, but your motivation is impure, God is not going to bless you. You're not positioning yourself for God's blessing. He doesn't bless impure motivations. And secondly, try to set input goals instead of output goals. Now, I'm not sure if I'm using the right terminology around here, but I think you get me when I'm starting to explain it. Input goals, I really focus more on habits and on motivation and on life change, and output goals more on certain targets that you want to reach. So, for example, just a couple of simple examples. An output goal may be losing 10 kilograms, maybe a great output goal for this year. But the input goal could be eat healthy and work out regularly. That's more of a habit type of change. That's something you want to do. So you could say, I want to eat great meals 6 times a week and go to the gym 2 times a week. That's more of an input goal. And then we'll see what the outcomes is. But it focuses on a habit. It focuses on life change. Another one, maybe, I want to score an 8 on every test that I make this year. Maybe a great goal. But maybe a better goal, an input goal, would be I want to change my study ethics and give my best in every subject and before every test. And then we'll see what the outcome is. So then you measure that in a different way. But if you score a 7.5, you didn't fail the goal. The goal is what you put in. The goal is what you're changing in yourself to accomplish something. Here's another one, simple one. An output goal could be get that promotion, but an input goal would be become a promotable person, which focuses a lot more on what you put in and the life change and the habits and the being. See, the true win, I believe, is in the input, not so much in the output, because that's where the true life change is happening and where the improvement also becomes sustainable. So, 2 tips from Kuhn around setting goals. Hope it helps. Second key in the setting New Year's resolutions is expect. So this is what Joshua told the people. Purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. There's this deep sense of expectation and faith in there, right? Tomorrow God will do great wonders. Tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. God is going to do something new tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see a breakthrough. Tomorrow we're going to set foot in the promised land. Tomorrow it's going to happen. What I firmly believe is this. Whatever yesterday looked like, with Jesus, you can look forward with expectation to tomorrow, today. Now, I know that most of you in this room, all of you in this room, are very smart and intelligent people. And you're not quickly sold on positivity gurus and pep talk preachers and empty talk like that. This may sound a little bit like that. Like, you can do it. Be positive. Have a positive attitude. Expect, and it will happen. You will make it happen. Your words have power. This and this and that. You know, there's always some truth in that. But here's what I believe. Positivity is a very spiritual habit. It's a very spiritual thing. Being positive, having expectation for tomorrow, is something very and deeply spiritual. Because our positive expectation is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's based on an historic event. And therefore, I believe that we can have this firm hope that whatever is currently dead or stuck or broken will not continue to be dead or stuck or broken, because our God is in the resurrection business. He raises up dreams. He raises up our lives. He raises our hope and our expectation to a new level. And so any dream that is dead, or any relationship that is dead, any health issue you may have, finance issue, and any sin issue, whatever is dead or stuck will not continue to stay dead or stuck. We can have this expectation that if the kingdom of God would come, he will raise it up, he will restore it, he will do something new. And so this positive attitude rests in the historic event of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It rests in God's character, his goodness, and his faithfulness. It's based on something. It's more than empty talk. It's so much more than just words or just a positive attitude. It's this deeply spiritual habit to think positively about the future. And so I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to shift something deep inside of you when you look to this new year, and let him fill you with a new hope and a new expectation that tomorrow or this year, God is going to do something new in your life. Thirdly, trust. Again, Joshua told the people, our key verse for today, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. The Lord will do great wonders among you. And that's something that we need to trust in, expect for it, also trust in. On their way to this breakthrough, to come into the promised land, starting to conquer it, which would come with many challenges and many battles, God would actually send them off to this endeavor of conquering the promised land with a great miracle. He wanted to let them know that he was with them, but he also wanted to show them that they would not be able to do it without him. And they would soon find out. In Jericho, they would find this out. And then, conquering this big city, and God, made the walls collapse after they just marched around it and praised God. Incredible miracle. And then they kind of, the next battle is against Ai, which is this tiny little village. And they lose the battle because they're trying to do it in their own strength. And it was hidden sin and all of that. And so God is teaching them these things. And he's teaching them in what we're about to read that it's because of his power, it's because of his presence, and because of his miracle working that they'll be able to succeed, that they'll be able to do this. So Joshua will read from verse 14. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. And then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So God, this is amazing, miracle of creating dry ground in the middle of water when they left Egypt, but now also when they enter the promised land. He does a miracle like that again for a new generation of Israelites. There's a lot in this story that is cool and important. I'm not going to be able to reflect on much, but there's this great leadership lesson in there that, you know, the leaders of the nation, the spiritual leaders of the nation, went ahead, set foot in the, got their feet wet, literally, went ahead of the people. And because they were doing that, and this is something that we do when we intercede, this is something that we do when we lead, and when we look foolish, when we suggest something crazy, and when we kind of move ahead with what God has put in our hearts, believing that it will actually happen. It's just kind of this idea of taking leadership, which maybe you're not in a position of leadership in the church or at your work, but you're still a leader of your family, you're a leader of your own life. You can be a leader in your neighborhood, you can be a leader in the lives of others. So this leadership principle of getting your feet wet and then moving in faith, seeing God do a miracle, making a way for others. So there's this great principle in there that I think may help you when you enter in the new year. Well, where do I want to move with that beyond that? So that's what I want to encourage you to do, to go stand in that river. This is basically what you do when you intercede, when you pray for someone or for something, believing, kind of seeing the miracle before it actually happens. That's what the priests did. They stand in the river while it's still, waist high. It's going to be very hard for a whole you know, 1 million or how many people were they to move through with their cattle and their children and everything. They kind of step in, and then God does the miracle. It's this typical example of a leap of faith, of a step of faith into something. And so I ask you to look at your New Year's resolutions and ask yourself if they're God-sized, if they're full of expectation and trust that the Lord's going to do something new. Are they God-sized? Because our goals and our, you know, resolutions and dreams, they may be very doable without God moving, without God doing anything. You know, you can have this, you know, I don't know, whatever goal applies to you or whatever dream, which can be quite simple, which can be quite, you know, doable. It's just, you know, when you have enough willpower, by the end of the year, you have accomplished it. It's great. It's good. But I want to challenge you to maybe write down a God-sized dream, something that without the blessing and the favor of God, without him coming through for you, without him doing a miracle, something supernatural, it's not possible. A God-sized dream, a God-sized resolution, a God-sized prayer. You know, he's able, through the power that's at work within us, to do more than we, you know, dare to pray for, more than we can ask or imagine. God is able to do something new. God is able to break through also in your life. And so I want to challenge you, check if your resolutions and if your dreams for this year are actually God-sized. Because if they're not, then good luck with your willpower. I mean, great, good on you, setting willpower goals. It's fantastic. I want to challenge you to set God-sized dreams. And so, time to get this card out. I printed them. I didn't print them, but I had them printed for you, especially this week. See, with this. You finally get to see some fireworks, which was impossible in Groningen this year. Stood outside for 10 minutes. We're like, yep, I'm going to go inside. This is too misty. Anyway, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. I pray that this may be your first for 2020, that it will set you up. And on the flip side, you can actually get a pen that's also on your seats here and there. Maybe take a moment. I loved how Matthijs did a sort of interaction moment last week in the, after the sermon. So I thought I'd copy it. Take a moment and write down, first of all, your God-sized dream for 2020. Now, you can fill in something now, you can take it home and do it there, but maybe you have something boiling now, so just write it down, your God-sized dream for 2020. It can be very personal, just between you and God. You don't have to show anyone. I'm not going to ask you up to share what your goal is or your dream is, but what is your God-sized dream for 2020? What's been the thing that you've been wanting for so long but never dared to go for? What's the thing that really needs to happen this year? Or what's the challenge that you're going to face where, you know, you really need God's answer? Or, I don't know, it's very personal. Your God-sized dreams, write it down. And then secondly, write down your three commitments that you're making to set you up, to position yourself for God's blessing. So what are some things that you want to commit to, connected to that goal, connected to that dream, some things that you can do, that you can initiate, maybe daily prayer, maybe reading a few books on the topic, maybe some things that you can do that will help that. But if it's a God-sized dream, then just those three commitments are not going to be able to cut it. They're not. That's just willpower. That's just doing something. They're not going to be able to bring you there. But like, make them sort of input goals, some things in you that you want to change, some things you want to put in towards this perceived outcome. All right. This may be a bit too much for right now. I see some people writing. That's great. I hope this will help you. Otherwise, take it home. Write it down, reflect on it, pray for it, and keep this somewhere to remind you every month of you know, what you're praying for this year, what your dream is for this year, and what you're committing to do this year. If you wrote something down, then maybe fold it and hold it up. I'll pray for you for that dream that God maybe will do great wonders in your midst, in your life tomorrow. That we're going to pray for our 2020s, and we want to commit all our hopes and our dreams to you, and just pray that you will show us, Lord, and help them to make them God-sized, that they come up to what your plan for our lives is this year, which is always greater than what we can ask or imagine. You have more in store for us than what we dare to pray for. But Lord, we want to commit the thing that you're putting on our hearts for this year to you. Help us to also find three commitments, three habits, three input goals for this year that will help, that will position ourselves for your blessing, that will help to make that dream come true. Lord, we want to commit our 2020 to you. Come with expectation. Come in with trust. Prepare well for it. Expect that you are going to do something new in our lives, because there, we've all got things that we want to leave behind in the past year. And as all, we all have things that we wish would happen this new year, that we really long for this year. Help us, Lord, to have pure motivations and adopt new habits in our lives that will really bring a positive, lasting, sustainable change, where we position ourselves for your blessing on our life. We pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.